Praise God. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we're getting prepared now to enter into the Word. Father, we thank you for the Word, and Father, most of all, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who came through the ministry of Christ, Jesus our Lord, to bring us the Spirit that would declare His Son. And so today, as we cover the Word, Father, may your anointing be upon me, and may you recall the things that you had asked me to share with your people. And that, Father, today will be a very eye-opening venture for them. Father, we know that we're in the dispensation of transformation. We don't know how long it will go on, but Father, we do know one thing. It's important that we change the way we think. But more than anything else, we have to be able to hear your voice in order to accomplish this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Well, in John chapter 9, I'll get there and show you what verse to go to. Praise the Lord. John chapter 9, verse 36. And he answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. And he was referring to a man whom Jesus had healed from blindness. And, of course, the Pharisees pulled him into court and wanted to know how this would happen. And, of course, they didn't receive Jesus as who he claimed to be. And the facts remained that he saw. And Jesus got results, and the intellectual, religious man couldn't comprehend him. And so they always questioned who he was. And so this is what this leads down to at the end of 9, and we're going into 10. And Jesus said, For judgment. Now I want you to notice this. For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, Are we blind also? Their own conscience starting to speak. And Jesus said to them, Boy, it would have been something to watch Jesus operate back then, wouldn't it? With these guys, you know? And Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, We see, therefore your sin remains. Wow. Think about that. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. Hears his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him. Follow him. Notice this. For they know his voice. Whew. Hallelujah. How many of you have seen somebody who claimed to be a believer, a Christian, and yet had no fruits of Christianity at all? What is the problem with that? They don't hear his voice. Because God changes you when you start hearing his voice. When I first read this, I got so excited. And I said, you know, Father, you know, I think I was saved for a month or so. And I had this craving within me. And I thank God put those cravings there. You know, a lot of times, you know, people say that They order God into their life so that God can fulfill their desires, rather than letting God plant His desires in you. And I began to recognize real quick after I'd been saved, maybe a month, maybe two, I don't remember how long it was, but I had certain desires in my heart that started a craving in me, and so I went after them. And somebody said, well, what's that like? Well, how many of you have ever craved something in the natural? And you went after it even though you couldn't afford it, it wasn't right for you, and you did it anyway, and afterwards regretted it. That's what I'm talking about. Going after a desire, and no matter what the cost is. But I'm talking about a good desire. A desire God puts in your heart, and you go after it no matter what the cost. And when I heard this, my sheep hear my voice. At the time I first read this, I truthfully said to myself, Father, I don't know whether I know your voice or not. And I actually didn't, because I hadn't been saved very long. I just came out of the womb. And a lot of us come out of the womb and we never grow up. We never learn the voice of our parents. And so right away I said, Father, I want to know your voice. How do I get to know your voice? And for a long time, I don't know how long it was, I had no clue on how to hear his voice. And then it started with the Holy Spirit. And then when I started finding out about the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and things, that began to open up a whole new concept to my life. But I kept going back and saying, God, I want to hear your voice, even though I knew about the Holy Spirit, but I didn't know the voice would help me through the agency of the Holy Spirit. And so over the course of quite a few years, through trial and error, how many of you have had trials and errors? Yeah, a few of us. I mean, we can all relate to that. Unless you run into a Christian that says they've never sinned. Oh, Pastor, there's no such animal. Yes, there is. There is. So with that thought in mind, let's go to... let me first of all go over again what we have covered about voices. We covered that there were several types of voices. The voice of reasoning, the voice of Satan, the voice of the Spirit, the voice of physical hearing, the voice of the body, the voice of manifestation. Then we have what we call the voice of the prophetic. And so, in general terms, this is what I'm referring to, is we have many voices going out there. And all of them have a specific designation of accomplishment in each one of them. And so when he says, my people know my voice, I want to know the voice of Jesus. But I have these other voices that go off in me all the time. And some of you might even, how many of you can agree with me that there are different types of voices that go off in us? You know, and a lot of us don't think about them, but I started thinking about them. Especially when I started studying the concept of the renewing of the mind, and I begin to realize right away that faith, my faith, never begins to develop until literally I get control of my mind. How I think about things. And if I don't let the Word of God produce in my thinking, I will never be successful in my faith. I will always be subject to the elements of this world and the enemy himself. And I realize that faith is just not something that you say when you need it in an unfavorable circumstances of life. Faith does not cover just that area only, but faith covers a multifacetedness to our life. And really, faith is the kingdom that has been seeded in us so that it can grow to its full potential of what He wants from us. But that only comes through the Lordship of Jesus. Many believer has received Jesus as their Savior, but not their Lord. And that is to your disadvantage if you only want to keep Him as your Savior. But to enter into the fullness of God, he has to become your Lord. And a Lord issues a commandment and you follow it. But a lot of people don't look at Jesus as their Lord. Just their Redeemer. And so, getting back to sharing something with you that helped me begin to understand the importance of our dispensation. And I'm talking about a time period for the Gentile nations to come into the kingdom of God when God moved from the nation of Israel to the nations, including Israel, for salvation. It became from a nation to nations, international. Salvation is international. It's for the whole world. And God moved from one nation to bring the nations into salvation. And he had to do it by leaving that nation and turning to the nations, because that nation kept it to themselves rather than using it as the means of bringing salvation to the world. And yet a lot of us don't realize the importance of that. Now, I want to say some things that are going to kind of throw you off a little bit, but if you think about them, just think about them, and they'll begin to make sense. But out of the Old Testament, God spoke by many ways, different various ways, through the fathers, by the prophets. And God showed me one day that when he spoke out of the Old Testament, he spoke through the avenue of wisdom and understanding that had already been inscripted in the Bible. And that's the book of Proverbs. And so God really, when he spoke in the Old Testament to mankind, he spoke personally to them and led them by that wisdom and that understanding. He didn't speak to them through an inward anointing of the Holy Spirit. He spoke to them through the outward expression of wisdom and understanding that was written down for all men to grasp, especially the nation of Israel. Now, if you go back into the book of Proverbs, how many of you read? I read that every day. I try to read it every day. Some days I miss. But I'll get in there and I'll just open the book of Proverbs and just start reading. And man, if I don't get something out of that book every single time, it amazes me how accurate that book is. The word Proverbs means a rule or standard to be like. And you notice in the book of Proverbs, do you know that what God tells you to look at? He tells you to look at the animal kingdom that has more brains than a fool. And he says you can learn from animals. Well, that's putting us kind of low, wouldn't you say? Especially an ant. I mean, what can I learn from an ant? A lot. It's behavior patterns and what nature in itself will do to provide for itself. And mankind don't even have that kind of brains. And so God really did a lot of being led by the Spirit out of the Old Testament on the basis of wisdom and understanding. But New Testament, it changed. The New Testament includes being led by the Spirit, but its focal point, its PowerPoint is a walk of the Spirit. A walk of the Spirit. Now, until Kenneth Hagin had been teaching on being led and a walk by the Spirit, I had no concept until he taught it one day and it went off in me like a light bulb. And he said being led by the Spirit is different than a walk of the Spirit. Matter of fact, he has books written on it. And every once in a while, and boy, when I heard that on a cassette tape, I went, now wait a minute, I never heard that before, that being led by the Spirit is different than a walk of the Spirit. Now, I want you to think about this for a while. We're talking about being able to hear the voice of God, and I'm going to show you some things that has helped me to be able to discern the voice. Now, I'm not saying I have learned to discern it 100%, because I think I'll spend the rest of my life with God learning his voice. There's no end to what he has to say. God is more vast than that. God is huge. Now, can you imagine God's brain being put into a box? Well, the universe speaks more than that concerning Him. And so we're now, Pastor, I don't want to know about the God of the universe. I just want to know how to hear His voice. Well, that was my cry. I want to know your voice. And you know, His voice was greatly hindered in my life because of these other voices. I didn't know how to make a distinction to His voice from these other voices. Until finally, one day I decided, I'm going to write down these voices. And then I'm going to Scripture and try to identify them in Scripture. Because Scripture always helps for the perimeter of what we want to know about God. And so, the voice of reasoning, the voice of Satan, the voice of the spirit, the voice of the physical hearing, the voice of the body, the voice of the prophet, you know, which voice is going off in me? Kind of like somebody said, your prayers are different. Each prayer is different. Whenever I pray, I can't figure out which prayer to use. Have you guys ever done that? Now I'm going to pray the prayer of agreement. I had a hard time putting my mind into that. Prayer of agreement. What does that mean? But I had to get into Scripture to find out the different types of prayers and which one to pray and which one to be more. And I find that they work. You know, God's Word works. Isn't that amazing? And yet, how much of us doubt it? Now, out of all these voices, I said, we're not going to cover the voice of the Spirit. We're not going to cover the voice of physical hearing or the voice of the body or the voice of the prophet. We're going to cover the voice of reasoning. And here's why. The voice of reasoning is probably one of the most difficult voices to deal with. And the reason I brought that out is because the voice of reasonings really comes as a result of experience in life. Somebody said, well, when do you inherit the voice of reasoning? When you're conceived in the womb and you're brought forth. There's where the voice of reasoning begins. Now, I'm going to share something with you out of the Archcole volume, and this helped me to understand by being led by the Spirit and a walk in the Spirit. This helped me confirm that there are two different things. One thing, being led by the Spirit for the New Testament believer, is more apt to be accurate than if you were an Old Testament believer, because the Holy Spirit did not live in these men. He did not. Jonathan, the high priest, it's Caiaphas, the high priest. Caiaphas, the high priest, out of the Archcole volume, in this book, over the years that I've read, I don't know how many times I've read this thing, I've devoured it, and found it absolutely 100% perfect with Scripture. And of course, they're all confirmed documents that go back to 2000. Actually, they go back before Christ was born, some of these documents. They're held in the Archcole volume. They're in Rome, the Vatican, they're in Rome. These volumes are, you can't have access to them no more. They won't allow you because they're too disintegratable and everything. They're trying to develop machines that can go in and kind of pass through the scrolls without unraveling them. Because now they're so brittle that when you unravel, they just disintegrate and they don't want to lose any more of it. But I guess the volumes of information's in them. Well, back in 1800s, there was a couple of men that had to go, and at that time you could order certain documents on the listing that they had, and you pull them documents out, and the priests, the only ones that could handle the documents, would unfold them and read them. And that's what this book is made up of those documents that they were given permission to see. And this is one of them that was written by Caiaphas, the high priest. And Caiaphas was the one who actually crucified Jesus. How many of you know that? He was the one that gave the order to do that. And he gives a letter to Roman rule why they must crucify Jesus. And he says he's violating what our God is all about. And so he gives his arguments. But one argument that I thought was really interesting that caught my attention was the third thing that he was bringing up, Caiaphas. He says, third, he teaches and affirms that the bath coal, the Holy Spirit, cannot come until he goes away, which is contrary to the teaching of the Jews, because it was he that brooded over the waters and had been in the habitual light of the world ever since, from all of which he refuses to desist. In other words, stop saying. So Jesus constantly told them when he walked that the Holy Spirit cannot come until he is removed. Right. Now, to the Jewish mind, that was insanity, because he had been here since Genesis when he brooded over the waters. Right. And remember Jesus said in John 14 and John 16, 15 and 16, he says, when I go, the Holy Spirit will come. And he not only will be with you, but he shall be in you. See, and finally it dawned on me, wanting to know the voice of God, one thing that you have to understand about knowing the voice of God, the one avenue that we have to hearing his voice is called Holy Spirit. That is the mind of God. See, and not only will he be with us, but he shall be in you. But you know what? It doesn't do any good for God to even be in you if you don't know his voice. And so over the years, studying scripture, and I began to realize that not only can I hear his voice, I can pinpoint it by certain things. And I still miss the mark at times. Isn't that weird? No, it's not. You want to know why? I'm living here. If I was there, I would be like Dean. I wouldn't have to deal with any other voices. But Dean, when he came back, he was sharing with you don't mind me saying this, do you, Dean? He was sharing with me how God communicated there. And I went, Dean, that's how I receive revelation here. Remember me sharing that with you, Dean? I said, that's no different than how I receive from him here. And you know something? You don't have to wait till you get there to hear his voice. You can hear it while you're here. It's just what is in your heart to do. Do you really want to hear his voice? You know, I'm convinced a lot of believers don't want to hear his voice. Why? They might tell him what to do. God forbid that we would ever be controlled. Hey, I was at the fairgrounds years ago painting signs, and I started preaching to this kid that was working with it. And he said, don't preach that stuff to me. And I says, well, what is your problem? I was more bolder then. And he says, you know what Christianity is? It's full of do's and don'ts. He says, you have to deal with your conscience. I don't. I can do whatever I want. You sure can. All the way to hell. And I didn't tell him that, because you don't tell him God is love and then turn around and say you're going to hell. I mean, that don't compute with an unregenerate mind. But so then I go to John chapter 14. Go there. And in John chapter 14, close to the end of Jesus' death, Jesus was promoting the Holy Spirit more than any other time. And he says in John chapter 14, in verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And he says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And how will he come to you? Through the Holy Spirit. And you know something? When I read that, why would Caiaphas Where was his thinking? You see, he was thinking from one concept where Jesus was thinking from a whole different concept. Have you ever had an unbeliever tell you, you can interpret that Bible any way you want to? I had that one guy tell me that. He was always mad at me because I always read my Bible on our 15-minute smoke breaks. I didn't smoke, but I took a break with the smokers. And I inhaled their smoke. And but I always break my Bible open. And this one lead man leans back. He passed on since then. I don't know which way he went. He says, you know what? I am so sick and tired of you opening that Bible. He says, what is the use of that? Tell me, what does salvation mean to you? And I went, glory to God. I got the whole sign company in this room, and I can tell them what salvation is about. So they were all looking at me, you know, and I said, well, I don't mean to offend you. But I says, are you declaring that you're a Christian? Absolutely. And I says, well, then why are you arguing about me reading the Bible? He says, but I'm a Christian and I don't read it. And so I said to him, I said, well, how do you know you're a Christian? He says, I'm asking you what salvation is. I says, the reason I know I'm a Christian is I got on my certificate, born a Christian. Did you know that the Indian nations, right here in Tacoma, when they authorize a birth certificate, if you were born in America, there was a time period, they'd stamp on their Christian, on their gift certificates. He had one. Birth certificate, yeah. What'd I say, death certificate? Sorry, I had a funeral yesterday and got to get out of it. But on their birth certificate. Well, it is a death certificate, really. If they cling to that. But and so I opened up and I told them what salvation was all about. And you could have heard a pin drop in there. Matter of fact, right after the break, I went out and I was functioning. And I must have had two or three or four of them come up to me. What's the end time going to be like? And all of a sudden, everybody's God conscious. But I got my prayer answered. I preached to everyone on what it meant to be saved. And none of them argued. Even that guy didn't argue with me. Matter of fact, going out, he said, well, that's interesting. But they just don't know. They don't know the voice of God. And so I'm sitting here reading this, and the Holy Spirit is going to come, and he's going to be with us. Then you'll find that at verse 30, look at verse 30. This is real interesting. Never saw this before. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. And he has nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. Now this word here, cometh, really threw me off. Because it would indicate that there was something that was not here until after Jesus was removed. And then Jesus was saying, the Spirit can't come until I'm gone. And then he goes over into chapter 16. Turn over to chapter 16. And verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged or brought to sentencing. Now, when I read that, I said, well, that firms it right there. The Holy Spirit is definitely not here in one form. And that's called the form of being in you. Because the Holy Spirit was definitely here before Jesus came. But he wasn't residing in man. There was not what we call an inward anointing that would take place in you. And so I got to thinking, now what's this got to do with the voice of God? And I began to realize the Holy Spirit is the voice of God that's got to go off on the inside of you for you to hear him. Can I hear an amen? Were you guys going to sleep out there or something? You want me to start doing skits up here? Now, when he said cometh, that word is a word that literally means that there was nothing here that could come until something happened to bring that here. What was that? How many of you believe the devil was here before Jesus got here? How many of you believe the devil was still here after Jesus left? But dawned on me, he was talking about Satan. And I said, now if Satan's going to come, I thought he was already here because he walked around, he tempted Jesus. I mean, hey, he was working in the world. And God said that once Jesus had removed himself, this is now where Satan could actually come in the form of bringing a reproach to Christ. He could not do that when Christ was here, because Christ was in control of the testimony or the witness of the God of the universe. And as long as he was there and bearing witness, Satan couldn't come against that. He tried to get him to fall personally. But he became the light of the world for mankind. And he was the only light that bore witness of the Father. And he knew, Jesus knew, that before he goes, he has to do something so that the light would come to all mankind through his death, burial, and resurrection. And so Satan knew then that he had a whole complete different operation to work with once Jesus left, and that was to come against Christ's witness or testimony of who he was. That was mentioned over there in Genesis. He said, you will bruise his heel, but he'll crush your head. And Jesus crushed his head by removing his authority over the church that was to come through resurrection. Death, burial, and resurrection. He removes Satan's authority over the church. How? By justifying those who are born of God. We are not under the jurisdiction of Satan. We're under the jurisdiction of our Heavenly Father. We're under His control. Are you following what I'm saying? He is our prince. He is our prince leader. He's the one that leads us. He's the one that reveals his will to us, that we can walk in it, called the walk of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And so when it says he will, that Satan would bruise Christ's heel, it meant that wherever Christ walked, Satan would come to try and bring a reproach to the ministry of Christ while he was here. And Satan couldn't do that until he had to be removed. I don't know whether you guys got the revelation or not, but the devil for the believer is a defeated foe. The only way that he can even defeat mankind is to deceive them, because now authority had been given back to mankind. When the authority belonged to mankind, when the earth was created billions of years ago, God created it for man. He didn't create it for an angel. Angels were given to serve mankind. Hebrews chapter 1 and chapter 2. Hallelujah. And that's why the angel said, when he came, the Son of God, into the earth, it said all of heaven rejoiced. Because our Savior was born in Bethlehem. Glory to God. To get victory. And to administer the crushing of his authority. Whew. I got news for you. I got good news for you. God wants you to know his voice. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh. Man, if you get anything else out of this message today, God wants you to hear his voice. Woo. Preaching myself happy. Can't say it like him, but I try. So, we have these issues as if those are voices. I wouldn't have a problem if I didn't have all those other voices working in me. Have you ever noticed the criminally insane? You know what they always say? I heard voices. I hear voices. Just recently, somebody on the news did a murder or something and said a bunch of voices told them, go do it. Where do you think they came from? Well, we're talking about the voice of reasoning. I want to share this with you. The voice of reasoning has robbed us more of our faith than any other one thing. I don't care who you want to blame for your failure. I don't care what mystery you have not solved. I don't care what it is. Bottom line is the voice of reasoning. If you do not understand its attributes and you do not understand how to make a perimeter for him, you will be meat for your adversary. You know, I'm getting to where I hear his voice so much clearer that I can hear a man preach a message and I can tell you right where the poison is in it. Do you know that poison, if I was to take a glass and fill it all the way with poison and then put it in front of you and had a label on it called poison, drink, you die. How many of you would be stupid enough to sit there and say, well, I can drink that. There isn't one of us in this building that would do it unless we wanted to commit suicide. We wouldn't take that glass and drink it. But if you put a glass of orange juice there and say, this is made up of oranges, but I put a drop of poison in it, you wouldn't know it. And so you drink it. And it'll kill you. Even though 90% of it was pure orange juice and the other death. And now I can sit. And here's what will happen to you. You will be accused of knowing everything. When you start making identity to what is right from what is wrong scripturally. Now, I'm not saying I know everything. But I have learned over the years the attributes of the voice of reasoning, not the voice of the Spirit. We're not going to talk about the voice of the Spirit. We're going to talk about the voice of reasoning. And here's why. The voice of reasoning was here before you got born again. The voice of reasoning remained with you after you got born again. The problem is, what are we going to do with this voice of reasoning? Because it sure hinders us from hearing the voice of God. And I got news for you. It does. Just recently, I discovered another voice that went off in me. John knows what it is. It's called the voice of your desires. Yep. So, I looked at the attributes. I wrote them down. John, should we print these up for him? Should you print them up? So, I sat back and I looked at the voice of reasoning. Now, let me ask you something. Is the voice of reasoning always evil? No. Because natural wisdom, the voice of reasoning, can apprehend that. How many of you, I'm not saying you do it, but how many of you here know that if you control money, you're a good steward? Right. We know that, but how many of us do it? Got to have that. Why? I got to have another gun. Why? Bigger buffalo. You'll always find a reason for something. But the voice of reasoning can reason with wisdom. And a natural man, not even born again, not even spirit-filled, a natural man can take the voice of wisdom and make success out of his life. And it's not even a blessing from God. And did you know that Proverbs says that? But you know what? In the end, he has nothing. When his life is expired, he goes to dust. His spirit goes back for judgment. What is that all about? It's called throwing your life away after obtaining the whole world with your understanding, your soul. But knowing the voice of God and knowing how the voice of reasoning works does so much to help you hear that voice. Here's the attributes that you find with the voice of reasoning. If we can identify its attributes, what is associated with it, this being reasoning, it helps us to order parameters to keep it in check. So the attributes are, after a person is born again, we automatically receive another voice. We have two thoughts processing two channels for voices to come through. Romans 8 clarifies them. Carnal, spiritual. The mind of the flesh, the mind of the spirit. Now, with all these other voices that are going through us, I don't need another voice added to me unless it's a good one. Amen. And I inherited the voice of my spirit that never existed before when I got born again. Then the second thing, concerning the attributes of this voice, the voice of reasoning. One, the carnal, has a history lived. The mind of the spirit has no history lived. You have to learn the history of God through the Bible in order for the voice of reasoning to have this other thought channel to begin to work. Am I making sense to everyone? Now watch this. Another attribute is where Satan begins with injecting his thoughts. The channels they usually his thoughts through is doubt and stronghold. Because as you grow up with the voice of reasoning, you develop strongholds. They're your fortresses. You stand there. And you'll defend everything that comes against you because you have built this stronghold called your protection. When really, it is your prison. It is your prison. Well, how can my stronghold be a prison? Because your stronghold is called reasonings. And these reasonings speak against the knowledge of God. 2 Corinthians 10 starts with verse 3, goes down through verse 6. And so right away I know that when I go to activate my faith through the Word of God, I will have a voice that will come against it right away and give me a reason why it won't work. Because it's made up of the five senses. And the spiritual mind that you have inherited when you get born again is not limited to your senses because you have to develop your faith apart from what you can see, feel, taste, hear. Are you following what I'm saying? And so that's why the voice of reasoning has to be understood before you get into any of these other voices. Because if you don't know how to handle the voice of reasoning, you're going to have a problem with the others. And so right away, this is where Satan will inject a thought in a form of a doubt. Hath God said? Right away, you can recognize that voice. That's not the voice of God. Right now, God does not argue with what he said. Jesus experienced it when he was led out in the wilderness. Satan said, hasn't God really told you you can jump off this pinnacle and no foot will come to harm because he'll give his angels charge over you? Jesus turned and said, don't you tempt God. You're a liar. He didn't have to prove who he was. He wasn't going to give in to that voice of the devil. And the devil will use your strongholds and what he can speak to. You're the one with the authority in the earth, not him. All he has is deception, but he has to have your agreement for his deception to work. And so if you recognize that voice right away, now wait a minute, that's doubting God's word. Right away, but I'm telling you, I feel an anointing on me this morning. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not saying I've perfected it. I'm working on it, but it sure helps what I do know. I'll share what I know with you. Then you have the voice of the manifestation, the body. Then you have the voice of desire, your own. This is the dominant interest of the mind. Then you have the voice of experience, where strongholds have developed. Then you have the voice of others. And the voice of others is where deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons come in. That is where a person can sit and convince you that he's a man of God, and yet his whole desire is to rape you. He has a knot working in his heart, a pure mind. Rape you meaning take whatever he can from you. Whether it's money, good, whatever it is. He'll go after to take it from you. That's how he operates. And this is where the voice of others, you got to be careful, because not everything you hear is of God. You see. And so these are kind of the attributes that you find with the voice of reasoning, because it can be very confusing. But here's the perimeters that you need to learn that is going to help you understand how to corral the voice of reasoning so you can hear the voice of God. Now, just because you hear this message doesn't mean you're going to perfect it. Wouldn't it be nice if God spoke and inside our head a Christian flag came up and said, "This is God"? Wouldn't that be nice? Then you could forget all this stuff. But life has to it the ability to really grow into God. But when you're a Christian set on a fence, you don't even need to hear my message this morning. It ain't going to do you any good because you're just not interested. You have to be interested in what you've become in Him. Can anybody say amen to that? You have to be interested in it. And so the perimeters that we build in ourself that will help us hear His voice clear, number one, is that you always have to go back to the Word of God. Now, I'm going to go through these 10 points real quick-like, but next week I'll go into explaining them all out for you. Would that be all right with you? Because once you learn these perimeters, man, I'm telling you, it helps in your thinking. Amen. The Word, Hebrews 4:12-13. Number two, contextual understanding. In other words, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Being able to put what was said to who it belonged to and who it didn't belong to. Number three, He speaks only one way, in a Son, Hebrews 1:1-2. And of course, He said that in John 14:16-18, and John 15:26, and John 16:8. He says He's going to speak only one way, in a Son. That's Jesus. He is not going to speak to you through Judaism out of the Old Testament. He's not going to take and speak to you again through the fathers by the prophets. He's not going to start speaking to you by some prophet. He's going to speak to you one way, in a Son. And His name is Jesus. One way. That helps. One way. In a Son. He'll speak to you through the witness of Christ. Then you can go anywhere you want to in the Bible. But you've got to understand His voice through the Son. And that is called having the mind of Christ. Then He speaks to you. And what helps you in this perimeters of these voices is He has what He call an inner witness of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:16. Then The carnal mind speaks contrary to the Word of God, and that's how you identify the voice of reasoning in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting at verse 3. Paul tells you clearly there that the voice of reasoning has to be used as by a weapon given of you of God to corral it and make it become obedient to what God has said. That's when the voice of reasoning is going to get you into trouble, when you listen to it in spite of what God says. Then wisdom and understanding in our time period, not the Old Testament, comes through the Spirit. And most believers don't even know they're born again. They're saved, but they don't know how. And then the seventh, the position of our physical body that has been declared on the cross dead. You've got to realize that now God will speak to you through your spirit, not your carnal man, your physical being. That'll help corral His voice a lot. Especially when you come up for healing, going, well, I don't feel it. And then somebody says, you didn't get it yet, and that's why you didn't feel it. Boy, you begin to really corral that voice of reasoning. And then number eight, the role of the Holy Spirit on the heart of the inner man. How He works on your inward being. And then the understanding of the heart. If you understand the heart, you will begin to really be able to corral the voice of reasoning. Because the heart is made up of how you process your entire being. Spirit, soul, body. So these are the perimeters that you have to put on that voice. Somebody said, well, I always go to the Old Testament because it speaks so well to me. How about you? Every time I go in the Old Testament, I get lost. Because nothing in it belongs to me. Well, what about the examples that were shown there? I can take those. Yeah, what they did wrong, I don't have to do. That helps me. Because over there in Corinthians, it says they were examples unto us not to touch. But my revelation doesn't come out of the Old Testament. Matter of fact, you find a guy in the Old Testament all the time. It's because he don't have a revelation in the New Testament. He speaks only one way in a son. You have to know what he's saying, New Testament, before you even go back into that country that you don't even belong in. Those guys, you know how God used those men? He had to convince them that when He was going to use them, it would be Him working through them, not them doing it. Well, I hope this helped you. One person told me after the service, I don't know if you're still here, she said, you know what, Pastor Bell, I'm okay until I get under some of your messages and then I get more confused. Well, you know what? Don't think that's bad, because I'm still confused about a lot of things. But I'm learning a little at a time. How about you guys? Learning a little at a time. And so this kind of information really helps. And it'll help if I get John to type this out for me. Yeah. You want me to have him type it out for you? So the next Sunday when you come, you can really look at him. And I'll type out even. Oh, that's right. We're not going to be in the office this week. That's right. I'm glad you reminded me of that. So you're going to have to wait after we're through speaking on this. Huh? Oh, okay. Don't remind me. Stand up, everybody. Hallelujah. 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 You know, we're getting ready to go into a new, brand new year. Amen. How many can say your year is going to be different? It's going to be different for all of us, isn't it? It's going to be different for all of us. Why? Because we're going to learn more. Somebody said, why are you always excited about the year to come? And I said, because that's when I'm going to learn some more new things about the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, Right now, we're just going to take a moment. A moment of time that will allow you to speak to the hearts of those that need to be spoken to. And Father, if there be anybody here that has never said the sinner's prayer, that want to come into the kingdom, make Jesus the Lord of their life. Father, we're open to receive them. So if your Spirit has been moving on them to do so, may they be obedient to do it. If you have been Spirit-filled but been backslid, got onto the areas you didn't belong and want to make that right, confess before men of your change of heart, come back into full fellowship with Him, then we welcome you to come forward. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'm talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, then I encourage you to do that. Because as He's with you, He shall be in you, manifesting all the glory of His Son. So if you would desire the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we want to pray for you. If you're here this morning and you need physical healing, then you know He paid the price to redeem you from that sickness and disease. It's just up to you to come forward, receive it, and don't let doubt, don't let the voice of reasoning talk you out of what you came for. For that's how simple it is. Simply believe to receive. So with every head bowed, if you're here and you fit one of these areas, step out and come forward right now in the declaration of your faith. Anyone? Feel free to do that. We would love to pray for you. Anybody? Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Anyone else? Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay. Well, we'll pray for you in just a minute. But I declare safety over every one of you going home. As you've come, you'll go back home the same way, untouched by the enemy. We pray over everyone in this building, they have a safe journey home. Do you all agree with me? Father, even change their direction. If there's death in their way, Father, cause them to be successful at returning home or wherever they're going. Father, let not the enemy take one of them in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you're dismissed.